Welcome back once again to the Warren County Radio Bible School. And as you hear that bell, you know it's time to go get your Bible and open it up to the text that we'll have for the class that we're going to teach today. And the text today, you'll want to open your Bible to Luke chapter 12. And in just a few moments, I'm going to read Luke chapter 12, verses 1 through 31. As we begin studying Elam's notes for a Sunday school lesson that he prepared for the Sunday of December 24, 1922. And it is a lesson in trust and preparedness. So turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 12, and as you're doing so, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Old Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. The little building we're meeting in is not the original building. The original building was a wooden structure, and the very foundation stones for that building were rolled off of that mountain and laid in place that the saints might have a place to worship. We're now meeting in a brick building, and we've been meeting in that location as a Church of Christ for over 100 years. We have Bible study every Sunday at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff and the superintendent of this radio Bible school, and our teacher is E.A. Elam, coming to us by way of what he wrote many years ago for the churches for their Sunday schools. Now, this lesson is from Luke chapter 12, and I want to read that chapter, or Luke chapter 12, verses, verses 1 through 31, and that will include the text that we have for the lesson today on trust and preparedness. Here's how it goes. In the meantime, when the many thousands of the multitude were gathered together, inasmuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say in his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. But there is nothing covered up that shall not be revealed and hid, that shall not be known. Wherefore whatsoever ye have said in the darkness shall be heard in the light, and what ye have spoken in the ear in the inner chambers shall be proclaimed unto the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more power that they can do. But I will warn you, whomever ye shall fear. Fear him who after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pence, and not one of them is forgotten in the sight of God, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered? Fear not, ye are of more value than many sparrows. And I say unto you, every one who shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me in the presence of men shall be denied in the presence of the angels of God. And every one who shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you before the synagogues and their rulers and the authorities, be not anxious how or what ye shall answer, or what ye shall say. For the Holy Spirit shall teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. And one out of the multitude said unto him, Teacher, bid my brother divide the inheritance with me. But he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and keep yourselves from all covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he reasoned within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have not where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, be merry. But God said unto him, Thou foolish one, this night is thy soul required of thee, and the things which thou hast prepared, who shall they be? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, Be not anxious for your life, what ye shall eat, nor yet your body, what ye shall put on. For the life is more than the food, and the body than the raiment. Consider the ravens, that they sow not, neither reap, which have no store chamber nor barn, and God feedeth them. Of how much more value are ye than the birds? And which of you, being anxious, can add a cubic unto the measure of his life? If then you're not able to do even that which is least, why are you anxious concerning the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothe the grass in the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more shall he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, and what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind, for all these things to the nations of the world seek after. For your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. Yea, seek his kingdom, and these things shall be added unto you. The golden text for this Sunday school lesson comes right from the reading for this lesson, Luke chapter 12 and verse 23. The life is more than food, and the body than raiment. Let me read to you Elam's introduction to this lesson on trust and preparedness. In the introduction, he begins about the covetousness of one in the multitude. This circumstance and this parable are found only in Luke. Beginning with verse 13 of this chapter, one of the multitude was not a disciple, but one of the many who heard Jesus. He recognized the justice and righteousness, influence and power of Jesus, and therefore made this request. Whether his brother had wronged him is not stated. Among the Jews, the inheritance of the father is divided among the children. The elders receive a double portion, and the rest equal parts. And you can read about that rule in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. Well, whether this man's brother was the eldest and had the inheritance is not stated either, but it seems from the request that it is possible. He is asking Jesus to settle this dispute that he has with his brother over this inheritance. His covetousness and selfish disposition was not shown in simply wanting his own, but in losing sight of the eternal inheritance which Jesus was ready to give. Why, this man that came to Jesus with this request to settle this earthly dispute had placed earthly things above the heavenly and desired to use the influence and power of Jesus to obtain only the earthly. His heart was so set on earthly gains that he interrupted Jesus' reply to this, and was that he was not a temporal and official judge to look after earthly inheritances and to divide them among legal owners. His mission was to save souls. He teaches the principles of right, truth, justice, mercy, unselfishness, love, and obedience, which will relieve all difficulties and answer all wrong questions. But he is not a temporal, political prince forcing men to do right. He leads men into the possession of the right spirit and teaches them to suffer wrong rather than to do wrong themselves, and fits them for the enjoyment of the heavenly inheritance. Now, part two of this introduction is there is a warning against all kinds of covetousness. Jesus said unto them, the audience who was listening to him when the man interrupted him, "This man's covetousness furnishes an example for a very necessary and much needed lesson. Take heed," means to see to it. "Beware, or let it concern you, and keep yourselves from all covetousness," Luke 12 and verse 15. Covetousness is a great sin. In Colossians 3 and verse 5, it's called idolatry. "For you know of a surety that no fornicator or unclean person or covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God," Ephesians 5 and verse 5. A covetous man may be more respectable among men than a drunkard or a fornicator, but so far as his salvation is concerned, he is no better. To worship money is as much as idolatry as to worship any other false god or idol. "You cannot serve God and mammon," Matthew 6 and verse 24. People love money rather than God and serve it rather than God. Whensoever they disobey God for the sake of money or violate one single principle of Christianity for the sake of making money, and after they've made it honestly, if they do not use it as God directs, they love and serve money more than God. We're sorry for the poor heathen worshiping his idols, but the professed church member who is covetous is in a worse condition. Covetous is not simply the desire to have more by honest efforts and righteous means. It is covetous to desire that which is another's without due compensation or giving him value received. "Thou shalt not cover thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or his maidservant, or his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's." Exodus chapter 20 and verse 17. That is number 10 of the Ten Commandments. To seek gain at the expense of others in any way, or at the destruction of higher and better things, is covetousness. Besides a greedy, selfish use of one's own gains is covetousness. It is covetousness not to use that which one has made by honest means to the glory of God, as the following parable shows. It is wrong to spend what one honestly accumulates upon his own lust, James 4 and verse 3. And then we read this, "But thou shalt remember Jehovah thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth," Deuteronomy 8 and verse 18. "Honor Jehovah with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine inheritance," Proverbs 3 and verse 9. He that does not do this is covetous. It is as much covetousness to sin, to rob God, as it is to rob men. Listen to these words. "Will a man rob God? Yet ye rob me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye rob me, even this whole nation." Malachi 3, 8 and 9. "Every man should give as God prospers him." 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. "Let each man do according as he purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver," 2 Corinthians 9, 7. He who does not do this is covetous. We'll continue this in our next class session.